So did you know that it's already spring? At least according to meteorologists, if you watch the weather closely, you know that in our part of the world, meteorological spring began March 1st. So it doesn't matter what the groundhog says, it doesn't matter what your calendar says, it's already spring, and I'm all for that. This year, in fact, the weather people may be right, because it's warming up, it's going to be 60 degrees tomorrow, the snow's all melting away. Yeah, can I get an amen? The sun is shining more. It's starting to feel like it really is spring. And then we'll also be celebrating Easter soon, just a month away, and we'll rejoice again in the Savior's resurrection and celebrate the centerpiece of our faith, the new life that we have in Christ. At the same time, see the theme here is good news. At the same time, it's starting to feel like the world is beginning to emerge from our long pandemic hibernation, right? We seem to be at least at the beginning of the end of COVID. So there's reason to feel good today. There's reason to think that we're headed in the right direction in a number of different ways. Our lives kind of flow through seasons. We know that's true weather-wise and on the calendar from winter to spring, but we also go through seasons of hardship, and then we look forward to seasons of new hope. And maybe we go through a season of illness, but then it's followed by a season of healing and feeling better. Sometimes we live through sorrow, but then we trust, just as God's Word says, that there will be rejoicing that follows it, rejoicing that comes new in the morning. One of the great promises of Scripture is that Jesus walks with us through it all. He's helped us through a cold, snowy winter, and He's going to be with us as we enter into spring. He's guiding us through the pandemic, and Jesus will also be with us when life returns to normal. He's with us through seasons of suffering and sorrow, and He's also with us when life is happy and peaceful and good. So this morning, we're going to finish the story that we started last week of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And I've just given away the end of the story, but we all kind of know what's coming as we read through the story about Lazarus. Last week, we read Jesus' promise, "I am the resurrection and the life." And we talked about how even though our physical bodies die, we believe that our souls, our spiritual nature will live on with God forever and ever. And that's the great promise of resurrection. So today, we'll read about the amazing miracle of Lazarus being raised from the tomb, raised and walking out of the tomb, raised to new life, this extraordinary story of resurrection. But the story also teaches us about who Jesus is. It teaches us about how He walks with us through those hard moments of life, how He's there with us even as we suffer, how He's there with us during times of pain and sorrow, and how He's also with us during those moments of joy and renewal and restoration. When Jesus arrived in Bethany, where this story takes place, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. His body had been placed in the tomb sealed up with a large stone, and his family and his friends were gathered around grieving. So we pick up the story. This is in John chapter 11, picking up at verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" We all know what Mary and Martha were feeling that day. Death is hard. It hurts when a loved one dies. And so as Jesus went there to be with Lazarus' family and the others there grieving, they were crying. There were tears of sorrow, of anguish. Now, we know this story is going to end in an amazing miracle, but before we get to that part of it, before we jump to the end of the story, I think it's important for us to feel some of that pain for a moment. And again, we all know what that's like. We all know what it's like to lose a loved one. But we need to feel their pain because we also need to remember that Jesus was there also feeling that sorrow with them. Even though Jesus knew what was about to happen. But Jesus still felt the weight and the hurt of that moment. We know death is not the only source of sorrow and hurt in our lives. We live in this world with all kinds of trouble and pain. There's illnesses, there are broken relationships, there are financial hardships, there's disappointments, there's broken hearts, there's depression, there's anxiety, all those reasons that we may spend sleepless nights or may go through our days with sorrow in our hearts. In the midst of all these troubles, though, we can take comfort as we read this story from remembering that Jesus was there with Mary and Martha and the others who were grieving on that day. And what he offered to them, he also offers to us. Jesus weeps with us. Jesus weeps with us. You may know, you probably know, that Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible, right? Just two words for what it's worth. But we shouldn't overlook it, right? It's a small verse, but it speaks volumes about who Jesus is and about how he comes to us in our moments of sorrow and struggle. And so you ask, well, why did Jesus cry that day? Jesus knew what he was about to do, but why did he still go through the emotions that the other people were experiencing as Lazarus was there in the tomb? Well, Jesus cried because his friends were hurting. Lazarus was his friend. He had just died. Mary and Martha, his sisters, were also close friends of Jesus. He knew this family well. And Jesus cried because Mary was weeping, because Martha was grieving. In the same way, Jesus weeps with us during our times of sorrow, during our moments of pain. Jesus doesn't look away. He doesn't ignore the hurt that you experience. Nor does he just say, oh, don't worry, it'll all be ready. It'll all be okay soon. I'll fix it. No, Jesus joins us in our pain. One of the unmistakable and, I think, miraculous truths of Jesus' incarnation, the fact that Jesus came to live among us, is that he knows what life is like. He's experienced it. He knows what it's like when someone disappoints you or when someone hurts you. He knows what it's like when a loved one dies. He knows what it's like when you face your own death. Jesus has lived that. And so he can relate to what we experience in this life. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. And so Jesus cried along with his family, but also because Jesus himself missed his friend. There are several words in this passage that describe the sorrow of that day. And again, we've all been in moments like this. And you might picture yourself, for them, it was they were outside, they were in front of this cave that had been carved into a tomb and the stone rolled in front of it. But for us, it's more likely in the church or in a funeral home and or maybe in your own home where you gather with family and friends and you know what that's like when a loved one has passed away. But there are a few words that describe what they were going through. The first one, it says that Jesus saw Mary weeping. It really should say that Jesus heard her, because the word for weeping that it's used there, what Mary was actually doing, is better translated as wailing. It's not Mary quietly crying off by herself, but it's a loud expression of sorrow. And in that culture, it was very common. I know in our culture, we tend to keep our emotions a little more in check. But in Jesus' day, it was common for people to grieve out loud. And that's what Mary was doing. She was wailing. It was anguish being expressed for others to see and to hear. And Jesus saw that. And then it says that Jesus himself was deeply moved. And that's another kind of poor translation, because this word actually is often used about the sound that an animal would make. You could describe it, and this may not be fitting or very appropriate for Jesus, but the word could be translated as snorting. It's the noise you make when you're trying to stop yourself from crying, maybe, but then it just bursts out. And so you can imagine Jesus with that sort of deep emotion. Then it also says that he was deeply moved in spirit, and then it says that he was troubled. And so you get this idea that Jesus was experiencing something physical, certainly something emotional, but also something spiritual. He was deeply affected in every part of his being. And then you come to the short verse, Jesus wept. And that word is a more quiet kind of crying. That Jesus also felt this inward sorrow. The pain of his friend having died. The empathy that he was feeling for Mary and Martha and the others gathered there to grieve. All of this tells us something more about Jesus. Not only does he weep with us, but Jesus is troubled by what troubles us. And we may not think about God in that way very often, but I think it's true that God looks at this world that he created. And more importantly, he looks at the people that he loves. And he sees our suffering, and he sees the brokenness that we have to endure. And he's troubled by it. He's indignant about it. Even angry that we have to endure the hardships of this life, the suffering and the pain that we go through. And of course, death is the ultimate attack against God's beloved people. And so you think, how does God respond when people die? Well, he doesn't like it. He's troubled by it, because it's not the way he wants this world to be, and it's certainly not the way he wants us to experience the life that he created us to live. So Jesus weeps over death. He's troubled by it, and he's troubled by all of the hardships that we have to endure in this life. Now, we know that Jesus is not powerless in the face of trouble. Not even death can defeat him. And so we keep reading the story at verse 38. It says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Only Jesus could have done these things. Only Jesus could have said these things. I mean, imagine calling for a grave to be opened up. Imagine telling the sister of a dead man, don't worry, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Just believe. Only Jesus could have said these things. And that really is the point of the story, isn't it? Because this story reveals who Jesus is and that the power of God was at work in him and that Jesus was able to do things that no one else could do, including calling forth the dead. But notice again what Jesus says to Martha. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And here's what we need to understand from Jesus, that he asks us to trust him with our pain. Jesus asks us to trust him with our pain. I don't know what miracles Jesus is going to accomplish in your life. I don't know what prayers he's going to answer. I don't know how he will display the glory of God for you. But I do know this, that he wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him enough to tell him about your needs, whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're facing today. He wants you to trust him enough to come and pray to him, to ask him for help. He wants you to trust him more than you trust your own strength. Oh, I can solve my own problems. I'm okay. Jesus, don't worry about it. I'm okay. No, Jesus wants you to trust him enough to say, I need you. I can't make it on my own. I need your strength. He wants you to trust him even when all hope seems lost. Even when it looks like, oh, it's all over. He wants you to keep trusting him. And so we can cry out to Jesus in our pain, in our fear. We can know that he listens to us, that he loves us, and we can believe that he is able to do mighty things that will change our life and change the world around us. Which then brings us to the end of the story. So verse 41. So they took away the stone, and imagine the faith that it took for the people to open up the grave. They took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Of course, Lazarus is the most famous dead man ever to live, right? Except for Jesus. Jesus is the most famous. But what Jesus did for Lazarus was like all of his miracles, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago. All of Jesus' miracles bring about restoration, and they bring about revelation. The restoration, of course, was Lazarus is restored to life. He walks out of the tomb alive. He's restored back to his family. His sisters get to give him a hug and welcome him back into the family, and he gets to live out the rest of his natural life with his family. It's this extraordinary restoration, this healing, this resurrection for Lazarus. But then this miracle also provides revelation. That is, it proves again who Jesus is. It reveals God's glory and God's power at work through Jesus. Only the mighty power of God could have done this. So restoration and revelation. Now, we said last week that this miracle of raising Lazarus, of his resurrection, pointed ahead to Jesus' own resurrection, which would take place just a week or two after this story. And then Jesus' resurrection points ahead to our resurrection, when we will rise, not our physical bodies, unless God decides another miracle will happen in this life, but certainly our souls will be raised into heaven to be with God forever and ever. And so we are pointed ahead to the great promise that Jesus makes to us in the resurrection of our lives. The story of Lazarus' resurrection gives us faith in Jesus' power, not only over our death and our resurrection, but his power over all of the troubles, all of the needs that we face in this life. Jesus is powerful enough to help us and to encourage us and to provide for us no matter what we face. And so the truth for us is this: Jesus has power over what causes our suffering, whatever it might be. There's nothing that you will go through that is stronger than Jesus. There is no problem that you will ever face that is beyond his power to help you. If Jesus has power over death, then he also has power over illness, over physical weakness. He also has power over your financial worries. He has power over your failing marriage or your broken friendships. He has power over the depression or the anxiety or the worries that are a burden to you. Jesus has power over the big problems of this world, and this world is full of all kinds of big problems, and he also has power over all the troubles in your own life. And so he's asking you to trust him. Trust him with your pain. Trust him with your anxious thoughts. He's asking you to pray in his name and to wait on his answer, and then to trust that he loves you and that he will provide for what he knows you need. When Lazarus walked out of the tomb that day, still wrapped in the grave clothes, the world began to change in a wonderful way, and it's never gone back. Because you see, Jesus came to defeat death. Jesus came to overthrow the powers of this world. He came to give us hope. He came to give us faith. He came to be our Savior. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we believe in him. And therefore, we will live forever. So let's give thanks to him. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful story of the resurrection, the new life that you gave to Lazarus. But even more, we give you thanks for the resurrection of Jesus and for the promise for each one of us that we too will rise because we believe in Jesus. We know that we have eternal life. And so, Father, help us to live with that assurance, that great hope. Help us not to be overwhelmed by the troubles of this world, but to trust in your power to give us the strength we need to overcome those troubles. And Lord, remind us to look ahead to eternity when all the troubles of this life will be behind us and we will be with you forever and ever. And Lord, that is the great promise and the great hope of our faith, and we believe it, Lord. We believe it in the name of Jesus, just as we pray in his name. Amen.